Translation: the material miseries of the living entity, which are superfluous to him, can be directly mitigated by the linking process of devotional service. But the mass of people do not know this, and therefore the learned Vyasadeva compiled this Vedic literature, which is in relation to the Supreme Truth. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srila Vyasadeva saw the all-perfect personality of Godhead. This statement suggests that the complete unit of the personality of Godhead includes His parts and parcels also. He saw, therefore, His different energies, namely the internal energy, the marginal energy, and the external energy. He also saw His different plenary portions and parts of plenary portions, namely His different incarnations. Also, He specifically observed the unwanted miseries of the conditioned souls who are bewildered by the external energy. And at last, He saw the remedial measure for the conditioned souls, namely the process of devotional service. It is a great transcendental science and begins with the process of hearing and chanting the name, fame, glory, etc. of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Revival of the dormant affection of love of Godhead does not depend on the mechanical system of hearing and chanting, but it solely and wholly depends on the causeless mercy of the Lord. When the Lord is fully satisfied with sincere efforts of the devotee, He may endow him with His loving transcendental service. But even with the prescribed forms of hearing and chanting, there is at once mitigation of the superfluous and unwanted miseries of material existence. Such mitigation of material affection does not wait for development of transcendental knowledge. Rather, knowledge is dependent on devotional service for the ultimate realization of the Supreme Truth. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitamscha Tam Sajivam Sarvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarupyasya Kripa Sindhu Vyai Vacha Patitanam Pavanepyo Vaishnavepyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So the translation once again: the material miseries of the living entity, which are superfluous to him, can be directly mitigated by the linking process of devotional service. But the mass of people do not know this, and therefore the learned Vyasadeva compiled this Vedic literature, which is in relation to the Supreme Truth. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 9th chapter, verses 43 and 44, Srila Prahlad Maharaj is addressing Lord Nrisingadev. in the spirit of compassion. And when he's addressing Lord Nrisimhadev, he prays thus, "O best of the great personalities, I am not at all afraid of material existence, for wherever I stay, I am fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. My concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, society, and countries. I'm simply concerned with love for them. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone. Leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals, I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to the shelter at your lotus feet." So Prahlad Maharaj is addressing Nrisimhadev, noticing that beyond one's own personal liberation, it's so important to try and find an opportunity to try and serve others, to bring them, uplift them to the transcendental platform. Similarly, in the verse that we have today, Srimad Bhagavatam 176, Srila Vyasadeva, he is observing the Lord in all his plenary portions. And in observing the Lord, he sees the living entities who are conditioned and are feeling misery, and he's feeling compassion towards these souls. He's feeling that how can they be saved? So coming into contact with such a Vaishnava, all of which are sitting in front of us here, coming in contact with a Vaishnava is such a very, very special occurrence. It doesn't come very often, perhaps, but when you come into that association, come into contact with such wonderful Vaishnavas, they can have a very profound effect on one's consciousness. The atmosphere in which you're sitting with that Vaishnava, it can open your mind to new realities. In the 10th canto, when King Muchakunda, he is speaking, he expresses very, very nicely that when you meet a saint, when you come in contact with a sadhu, when you come in contact with the spiritual master, it's said that your material life is finished. Just by coming in contact with the Vaishnava, your material life comes to an end. Why is this? Because at the time that you come into contact with such a Vaishnava, something very special known as a matihi is born, a matihi. What is a matihi? It's an inclination or an inner orientation towards Krishna. So when you're having prasadam and you're talking about all the different things, try and see what's alive in your spiritual life rather than what's happening in the weather, what's happening in the different projects. Try to see what's alive in your Krishna consciousness, because in that interaction, you may not realize, but in that interaction with the Vaishnava, an inclination, an inner orientation towards the Lord can come. Simply by associating with Vaishnavas, that inclination will come. Yesterday, I heard a very, very nice thing by our Sutapa Prabhu. He was doing a video for the College of Vedic Studies, and he said something very powerful. I want to share it with you. He said that small minds, they talk about people. Average minds, they talk about projects. But great minds, they talk about wisdom. So we're here at the Bhaktivedanta Manor not to get a free ride, not to just get free prasadam and, sing nice kirtan. We're here for upliftment. We're here for transcendental knowledge, to purify the heart so one day our Lordships Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda will accept us. So in our conversations with Vaishnavas, try to see what is alive. Open your mind to the experience, because this matihi is born, an inclination, an inner orientation is born. In the second canto, actually, it's explained that one's goal changes towards a transcendental goal, and the inclination, the matihi to attain it, comes from meeting a sadhu. In Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Harinam Chintamani, one of his most famous works, in the third chapter, he very nicely expresses what else happens when you come in contact with a Vaishnava. He says that what happens is you get something called sambandha gyan, which means you get knowledge of your relationship to Krishna. Simply by associating with the Vaishnavas, you can get sambandha gyan, your relationship to Krishna. You understand, I have a relationship to Krishna. He is my Lord and Master. And he summarizes three nice points in this third chapter of the Harinam Chintamani. He says that three things come through this understanding of sambandha gyan. One, I am a very small, eternal soul. Very, very small, but eternal soul. The second thing, Krishna is my infinite master. And the third thing, my dear friends, is that the material world is meant for my enjoyment. Okay, I'm testing, you're awake or sleeping or so the material world is not meant for enjoyment. Material world is meant for correcting us to always think of Krishna. So these three things come about from associating with the Vaishnava. It's explained in this third chapter of the Harinam Chintamani. So when one meets a sadhu, like the Prachetas met Narada Muni, or like how the devotees met Srila Prabhupada, when we come into contact with a sadhu, with a Vaishnava, the spiritual master, we are corrected in our inclination. We are then bound not to the material world, but to a spiritual reality, the spiritual world. We are bound in that way. We are given a new bondage, a new sambandha to the spiritual world. Another thing that comes from the association of devotees is we also get shraddha, faith. Faith comes from the Vaishnava. And faith is known as being the beginning, the middle, and the end of spiritual life. At the very beginning you need faith, in the middle you need faith, and right at the end you also need faith. Faith is there throughout one's spiritual life. Just like at the beginning one will have a soft type of faith, then in the middle one will get some sort of steadiness will come from the middle faith, and then finally in the higher stages one will get attachment and finally love. This is the process of faith, shraddha. And on this journey of faith, His Holiness Sachinanda Maharaj, he very nicely explains that if we cultivate the seed that we receive from the spiritual master, we cultivate the seed of faith that we get from the Vaishnava, something very mystical happens. You continue to cultivate this faith, and suddenly from within comes something called virya, which is inner strength. From cultivating faith, one gets inner strength. And from, this is actually described, virya, the definition, an energetic endeavor to pursue the practice of bhakti, or it can also be defined as inner strength, the strong faith. So to summarize so far, you meet the Vaishnava, you meet the sadhu. What do they give you? They give you sambandha gyan, they give you a matihi, an inclination towards the Lord. They also give you faith. And from faith is born virya, because you cultivate that faith, you get inner strength. And from that inner strength, something is amazing that can happen, which is that of smriti. Smriti means remembrance of the Lord, and it can come at any time. You know, when you're in a disastrous position, maybe our Abhay has had a disastrous position in school or something. Imagine if in that moment, Abhay, you suddenly remember the Lord. You remember, oh, Krishna is my Lord and Master, and you react in such a way. Smriti is born from virya, from inner strength. And I'd like to share with you a nice example. His Holiness Sachinanda Maharaj was doing a Govardhan Parikram, and he was near a place called Jatipur. Some of you may know this place, Jatipur. And this place is known and in some sense famous for its various types of thieves. So one very thief came up to Maharaj, and he started patting him down, trying to see if he had a mobile phone. Those that know Maharaj, he doesn't carry a mobile phone. He doesn't own a laptop. He calls them little monsters. So he doesn't carry any of these things. So they were searching his body, trying to find one of these little monsters. And he was starting to feel a little uncomfortable, and suddenly they started pulling at his jacket. Now, again, if you know Maharaj, you know that he's very attached to his jacket. Especially the one, it's like half-sleeved, it's got like a zip at the top, some of you may have seen it, it's a red jacket, slightly oversized, but he loves it. And so they started pulling at it, and he started pulling back, thinking, oh, I haven't got a mobile, but they're not taking my jacket. So he starts pulling back, tugging back and forth, and then suddenly in his mind he told that he started to remember his old street fighting techniques. And he was just about to use the technique of knock the brother out. He was just about to use that technique when he remembered. Smriti came, he remembered. No, this is a Dhamvasi. He's dear to Giriraj. And what he did is he raised his hands in the air, and this is probably the only time I'm allowed to do this in the temple room. He shouted, Jaydadhe! And the Brajavasi, what he did, he just said, okay, take it, and just left him out. So Maharaj humbly explained that he has a little faith, a little small amount of faith. And from that came Smriti, that just before he was about to use his street fighting techniques, Smriti, which is the remembrance that no, this is a Dhammasi. He is dear to Lord Giriraj. He is dear to Krishna. And if we are to go to the holy Dham and to want to harm the Brajavasis or get into an argument with the Brajavasis, then it's questionable why we should be there. So he very quickly changed his consciousness, and by chanting Jai Radhe, immediately that thief left him alone. So this old program of street fighting was there. But yeah, Smriti can come. So far, so good? Okay. Where should we place our faith? Where should we place our faith? There are several different places, but today I want to try and keep in line with our verse. And here it's described that there are two places which you can rest your faith. One is in the Shastra. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he states that Shraddha, faith, means to have firm belief in the scriptures which are informing us about bhakti. When we have faith in the scriptures, what happens, my dear friends, is that we get clarity of vision. Shastra Chakshus helps us to see things for what they really are, as opposed to our own perception. We start to see, how can I react in the most Krishna conscious way? What is the right way in which I should conduct myself? What is the best sadhana? These things come from the Shastra. So when we have faith in the Shastra, our vision becomes very clear. And when Srila Prabhupada was dictating the last purports in the 13th chapter of the 10th canto in Sri Vrindavan Dham, he encouraged all the devotees to read regularly in the Srimad Bhagavatam specifically. So you can imagine Srila Prabhupada getting ready to leave the planet, and he's very much encouraging. You can read these nice purports. You'll see he's very much encouraging to read the Bhagavatam regularly, nityam. So if you want to become spiritually strong, dear devotees, then go to the scriptures, read them with faith. Rest your faith in the Shastra, and you'll notice that your clarity of vision increases exponentially. You'll see not only now, where you're currently at in your spiritual life, but even in 10 years from now, you can read the same purport, you can have the same Bhagavatam class, and more clarity of vision comes. This is just by nityam, by regularly being with the Bhagavatam. The second place, and you'll be thankful to know it's the last place, but my most favorite place that I'm going to share today, where you can rest your faith, is in Hari Naam, in the holy name of the Lord. Kaler Doshe Nide Rajan Astihi Eko Mahaguna Kirtanat Eva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Parambrajet. It's described here. Although Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, there is one good quality about this age. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can become free from material bondage and be promoted to the transcendental kingdom. So this, I'm sure, I may have lost some of you in the audience already, but this is because we all know this. We know, Radhika Ranjan, he's just going to say, read the Shastra, be in the holy name, and then he's going to get really passionate about the holy name, and then it's going to be time for prasad, so I can just switch the mind off now. No, don't switch off the mind, because by hearing this again and again, to rest the faith in the holy name, one day it may come that you actually do rest the faith in the holy name. And even though we know this, we know that we must rest our faith in the holy name, sometimes we can get discouraged because we can read maybe the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We hear of the descriptions of Lord Chaitanya, who is dancing and chanting in ecstasy. Or even Narottam Das Thakur. I was reading recently the book by Mother Sitala on Narottam Das Thakur. If you haven't got it, oh, such a nice, nice read. It's like probably the best thing I've read in years. It's so, you can get glued to it. So if you find that book, I got lucky. They sold out at the Manor, and I found it in Italy of all places, and I just couldn't put it down since then. So find that book, Narottam Das Thakur. But I'm now rereading, and I'm reading the part where Narottam Das Thakur is going to Jagannath Puri, And he is completely in ecstasy in having first entered the temple, in meditating, in being conscious of Mahaprabhu, in chanting the holy name. So we hear of this descriptions of Mahaprabhu, of Narottam Das Thakur. They're experiencing this deep, profound love of God. But why am I not experiencing that? Why is it that when I am chanting, I am falling asleep? Why is it when I am chanting, I'm thinking about past, present, and future? Why is it when I am chanting, all I can think about is the projects, the seva. So many things going on in the mind. The inattention is there, it is rife in the mind. See, my dear devotees, what we have is this problem with Krishna. We have the same problem with the holy name. Let me put this another way. The same problem we have with the holy name, we have with Krishna, which is inattention. We think Krishna is always there. Therefore, let me switch off the mind when I chant. Let me be inattentive. Let me just go into automatic mode, mechanical mode, as it's said in this purport. Where is it? Purport. Revival of the dormant affection of love of Godhead does not depend on a mechanical system. Automatic mode of chanting, switching off. This inattention that we're paying to Krishna, it's not helping our cause. Srila Jiva Goswami, he kindly explains that we should have hope, though, because chanting the holy name is like digging for gold. In North America, they had this period of time where people were flocking to North America to search for gold. They were doing, it was called the gold rush, right? Gold rush. So what they would do is people go knee-deep into the rivers. They take a sifter, with, you know, which has got this like net, which is sifts out all the dirt. They take a clump of the earth and shook, 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 shook. Oh, just earth. Next batch. Shook, 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 shook. Oh, still more earth. And now I need to go and eat some prasadam. Shook, 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 shook. Ooh, cold. So this is the process. They were going and sifting through mounds and mounds of earth to find these little nuggets of gold. So Srila Jiva Goswami, he explains, as one anxious to find gold continues in his attempts, whether he finds any or not, similarly, a devotee continuously attempts to attain perfection, whether he is successful or not. And Srila Jiva Goswami defines perfection. He says, this is the direct perception of Sri Hari, who drives out all faults like lust from the heart and gives us supreme bliss. So hope is there. One day we may come to a point where our chanting is more attentive. We are maybe receiving the mercy of Krishna. And through this attentive chanting, we will see how the forms of the holy name, the forms of the divine holy name, will soon manifest as the divine couple, Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. So faith in the scriptures and faith in the process of chanting the holy name means to be patient. It's something we need to learn over time. Even I'm trying to learn, I'm a young devotee, I'm trying to learn this process. Just be patient. Just like the gold sifter. Because one day, we will get the mercy of Krishna. And the good news is, it doesn't need to take so long. Srila Prabhupada is famous for saying, I saw a video where he's saying, Krishna consciousness can come in one moment. All it takes is that one moment of full absorption, attention. So avoiding the 10 offenses, primarily that of inattention, in investing time in understanding how to chant nicely, just like in the Srimad Bhagavatam is described like an archer. It's said that the bow is like the mantra, the arrow is like the jiva, and so you take aim at the goal, which is the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna, and you shoot the arrow in that direction. Yes, okay, we may miss a few times here and there, maybe for a long period of time, but we have to understand how to use that bow, which means how to use the mantra. We utilize it by avoiding the 10 offenses, by keeping attention to the mantra. Then we get access to Krishna's Kripa Shakti, his most merciful Shakti. In all of Krishna's energies, he's invested all of them into his Kripa Shakti, which is manifest in the all-merciful holy name. In this purport, it ends by saying something very nice also, that the revival of the dormant affection or love of Godhead does not depend on the mechanical system, we've heard this, of hearing and chanting, but it solely and wholly depends on the causeless mercy of the Lord. When the Lord is fully satisfied with the sincere efforts of the devotee, he may endow him with his loving transcendental service. So, yes, we may try with that bow and arrow, the mantra and the jiva, trying to direct our attention towards Krishna. But what it depends on is not our own efforts all the time, but actually to understand that it depends on the mercy of Krishna. So when we sit to chant, tomorrow morning is a nice opportunity, first day of the holy month of Kartik. Sit with your japa beads. Try not to walk. Try to sit with the japa beads because it gives more opportunity for attention. Sit with them and pray to the Lord before you start chanting that, my dear Lord, it is impossible to control the old thoughts of life. Because when we sit down to chant, it's not just you and the mantra, but generally you sit with your whole life before you. You sit with the past, the present, and the future. You sit down and this other person who you identify as yourself is also sitting with you. So you kindly pray, my dear Lord, it is impossible to control the old thoughts of life, but please give me your grace. And in this mood of begging the Lord for his grace, then one day, I'm sure in the month of Kartik, it's more likely, Srimati Radharani and Krishna, more likely to give their mercy in this month. So kindly pray for their mercy, their grace, that in this month you can chant with more attention. In this month, we are understood as having to do niyam seva, more hearing, more chanting, more devotional service, more absorption, do more, do more, do more. But with the quantity, please be mindful, kindly be mindful of quality as well. So there ends me rambling on. Thank you so much for being patient and hearing. To summarize, when with the Vaishnavas, listen attentively, speak what's alive. Really listen to the conversation, add which is that of wisdom, what's alive in your Krishna consciousness. From there will come amatihi, the inclination. There will come sambandha gyan, your relationship with Krishna. Will come faith. Faith will bring virya, inner strength. From that inner strength, you can then get smriti, remembrance of Krishna. Remember the story of Maharaj in Govardhan with a thief. Smriti, he remembered what to do. Rest your faith in two key areas, the sastra and the holy name, and humbly praying that you can all make a success in these two areas of your spiritual life, the sastra and the holy name. So thank you very, very much for listening. Kindly excuse if I said anything out of term or if I said anything incorrect, which is always the case with me. Please kindly excuse me. And I'm happy to take any comments, anything that you want to add perhaps.